Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
There's a lot to address with you guys. I always appreciate you guys having me on every other week. I also have learned clearly none of you ever listened to our show.
From Madison to the Big Apple.
I'll make a statement to you. He's better than Jordan Love. He's a better player and has had a better career than Jordan Love.
He is more accomplished than Jordan Love.
No, he's become a better player.
I'll give you this. Sam Darnold has been more consistently excellent the past two seasons than Jordan Love. I don't think that Jordan Love has reached his peak yet, and I don't think...
I can say the same thing for Sam Darnold.
It's time for Evan Cohen on Jim, Matt, and Molly. These
vagabond shoes. That is the theme music here for Evan Cohen on Jim, Matt, and Molly. Jim Rutledge alongside Matt Hamilton, Molly Brown.
The very disappointed Matt Hamilton.
WTMJ Studios. Matt, why are you disappointed?
I'm disappointed in Evan Cohen for such a hot take. Quick bait take, if you will.
Well, I got to tell you, it wasn't meant to be that, but it clearly worked, I guess, in this state of Wisconsin, because I've been seeing all the social media and stuff that everybody's been destroying me all week, which is, I mean, fair. You know what's a weird thing, Matt, about this? Mm-hmm. And Jim, I think this whole look looks good. I got to tell you. I've seen it. I really do. I think you got a good look, though, with the bald look. Molly hasn't reacted once. We're ready to go. All right. And
she doesn't like the look.
Well, okay. So here's the problem with my – I'm going to critique my own take, Matt, on this.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm so high on Sam Darnold. You got to give him his flowers. Mm-hmm. The guy was unbelievable. The last 2 years, he won a Super Bowl. You can never take that away from him. We shouldn't critique him and be negative about him. I think Molly Brown screwed me up. I really do. I think that, no, I'm serious. I think Molly Brown, this is not a joke, has infiltrated my brain when talking about Jordan Love, that when she had that August take a year ago, which said this is the last year for us to find out about Jordan Love, and we still don't know about Jordan Love, it's made me turn on him. I think I've turned on him. I think I was glass half full with this guy for the entire part of – literally the entirety of his career. And I think Molly right thought in my head of it's enough of the maybe with him. Let's figure out what he is. And I still don't know what he is. And so I've become glass half empty. So I look at the guy that's, won the Super Bowl and also won a division, which Jordan Love hasn't even done. And I got to give him the flowers right now. Darnold over Love for right now, at least, for sure.
So off of that, I was listening, and you and the crew were kicking around the idea of should other
Let's
teams –
Let's get Molly's microphone working because we have a little mic issue with Molly, so we have some tech issues.
Okay,
Molly,
I was wondering.
Okay? Yeah, okay. Yeah, now we're good. Molly.
Is my mic on?
Yeah, it is.
I didn't think Ryan turned my mic. He never asked me, but I figured he was on the phone with Evan, so then I was like, all right. Can you hear me now? Are we in a Verizon commercial? No, we're not. Okay. Amazing.
Did you want to go ahead then, Molly?
Am I talking? Like, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yes.
Okay, I thought you guys were messing with me.
No.
Oh, I apologize. Okay. No, well, one, I love that I live rent-free in Evan Cohen's mind. Like, that's, like, day made, goal, like, life made. I'm curious why you say that, though, because I think I'm good with where Jordan Love is at. Like, I've said
Why?
It numerous times before
Why
because I don't need to have an elite quarterback. We've had three decades of elite quarterbacks in Green Bay, and you've won two titles.
Okay, Molly. By the way, the transfer of who's in whose head. You're in my head. I'm in Jim's head. Jim's in Matt's head. It's actually unbelievable what's happening right now on this show.
And but I'm in anyway, Molly's head.
You have to be, to complete the circle fully. Okay. So now, this is – Molly, you just got us to a great place. All right. So Wilde and Tausch and I talked about this the other day, and we talked about this a little bit on Unsportsmanlike this morning, 5-8-9-8 here on ESPN Madison. Has the league changed at all where you don't need the Hall of Fame quarterback and you can have your offense as your third best unit of your team? Now, in the case of Seattle, that's what it was this year, right? Defense, all-time good. Special teams, all-time good. I think the punter was unreal on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So was the field goal kicker, right? Obviously, I don't want to go too deep in special teams for the Seattle Seahawks, but it is important to set this up. So if Jordan Love, you don't need the Hall of Fame quarterback for the Packers, well, then you have to have an elite defense and elite special teams, do you?
No.
And how do you get that if you pay the quarterback $53 million a year?
I don't know. I'm not a GM.
Well, right. Your problem
is
tough
to construct a roster around it. Yes.
You're paying the quarterback to make up for mistakes for the defense and the special teams. What the beauty of the defense and special teams was for Seattle is they didn't make mistakes, so Darnold didn't have to make up for them. If the defense and the special teams were bad, they would not have won the Super Bowl because he couldn't make up for them. Conversely, if Mahomes has stinky defense and special teams, he can make up for them when everything's right. Josh Allen, Lamar, Burrow, Jalen Hurts, you know? I mean, Jalen Hurts didn't have stinky defense and special teams, but Jalen Hurts was awesome prior to this year. You're paying Jordan Love to make up for bad defense and special teams, but yet you want the defense and special teams to rank ahead of the offense, and they can't if you're paying him to do that. There's your problem. It's a math problem. So, I went to Wisconsin.
And so that's where earlier in the week you guys were talking about someone maybe like Jared Goff, and I saw that you were picked up on some Steeler pages and things like that, but maybe you could trade if you're the Lions. You try to do what Seattle did and – a Pittsburgh Steel. I googled what you said, and it popped up on a Pittsburgh Steelers fan blog. They were very interested in your fake trade. But the idea of trading Jared Goff to recoup draft picks to a team that maybe would want to win with Jared Goff or use him. I know the Jets came up on the air as well, and I think you threw out maybe Baker Mayfield and maybe some others. But I was listening intently because I was wondering if Jordan Love's name would come on it, because you could sell high with Jordan Love and rebuild this roster around Malik Willis, who you have proven success with, who Matt LaFleur has developed.
So, Jim, we did not bring that up. It's a good point by you. If I just blindly said to you guys right now, all three of you, let's pretend there were no cap ramifications when you – like, and NFL is weird. When you trade a guy, like, the money's still there. I don't like that. But anyway, not that the guy shouldn't get paid, that it shouldn't be on the cap is what I'm saying. So right now, would you guys rather Jordan Love for $53 million a year or Malik Willis for $20 million?
Jordan Love.
There's your question.
Jordan Love.
I would.
Jim?
I think Malik. Because, Matt, as you said, Jordan Love is in that weird spot where he's too good to trade but not good enough to win with.
I think there's...
You could go the other way.
Molly made a good point. Like, Malik Willis, whenever he takes the field in a Packers uniform, he has lower expectations than Jordan Love. If he was the starter and had the same expectations that a starter has, I don't know if he could perform the same way. It's a different scenario.
I got to follow up on that with you specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you said is dead on. But now let's go back to the math problem. If I'm subtracting in the hypothetical of $23 million, you can have lower expectations if you increase the defense and special teams. Yep. I don't think Darnold was brought there to be the best player on the team. I think Darnold was brought there to be better than Geno to illuminate the defense and special teams. I didn't realize that at the time. I realize that now.
Mm-hmm.
But if things went south for the Seahawks, though, who's getting blamed? Is the defense getting blamed, or is Sam Darnold getting blamed?
Right. So if things go south for the Seahawks, it is more likely than not, Molly, that their defense would not be as good, and Darnold can only make up for so much of the deficiencies there. So in this scenario, in your hypothetical Jordan Love, Malik Willis scenario, if I gave you the $20-plus million to reinvest in defense and special teams, in a hypothetical world if you had it, and you increase the defense and special teams, can Malik Willis be good enough to allow the defense and special teams to win the games? And is that a better formula than Jordan Love making up for any deficiencies on defense and special teams?
And I asked you guys in the last Evan's question, but you guys both said no to this. I said, do you trust Goody to build a roster with the haul that you could get for a Jordan Love trade and building around Malik Willis? And both of you said no.
Right.
So if you had a better GM, would you like this trade better?
Yeah, if I had a GM that had a proven track record of nailing early picks in the draft.
Like John Schneider?
Immediate contributors, yeah, like John Schneider. Who had the clause to become a Packer GM if it was given up to him. So, yes.
He still have that?
What's that?
I don't think he still has
that clause?
Now that he's the president, I doubt it.
Yeah. But it was at one point. He could have
came
back.
I would not give him that clause if I was the Allen family. Right. Yeah. Crazy? Yeah. That guy's unbelievable.
Right. Yeah. Now you got to take it out now. But that's kind of like the issue with where we're at is I don't really trust Goody to fill these roster spots. He's so much of a draft and develop kind of guy.
Like a Jordan Love, but GM.
A what?
He's a Jordan Love level GM.
Oh, get out of here. You're such a bum, Jim.
You know what, though? No, you guys are onto something, though. Like, I like Goody more than you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
But conceptually, all three, their big three of coach, quarterback, and GM are, like, almost in the space where, like, they should be the best in the league, but they're not at all in any way. Like, they're all three of them are almost.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, so of those three that you just listed, I've asked this question in a different way with different parameters this week, but, like, of the three that you just named, coach, quarterback, GM, which of the three is holding the team back the most?
GM.
Well, I don't think it's the GM. I don't think it's the GM. I don't, because... Go ahead, Matt. It's your show. Talk.
No, I was just saying, like, I don't know how you can look at the Packers roster and be like, this is just players underperforming. Like, it's the players' fault, or it's the coach's fault. Like, we're not good enough on the offensive line, the defensive line, at cornerback. Like, we just don't have the horses that all these other teams do. And, like, we do expect a lot out of Jordan Love because there's so many flaws with the way Goody drafted that he needs Jordan Love to make up for those. And Jordan Love might not be that guy. I think it's a GM problem. I don't think we have enough good players, and we definitely don't get rookies in here that are immediate contributors.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Goody because I'm a fan of people that have the ability to make tough decisions and stand by them, because that's really hard to do, and that mm-hmm. guy's made a lot of tough decisions, obviously. Now, making tough decisions don't always mean you're making the right decisions, I guess, but like he does have an ability to make a tough decision. I guess I keep going back to what Molly put in my head. Like, I don't know what Jordan Love is. So I'm going to keep going back there. Like, I don't know what he is. I do know what LaFleur is. LaFleur is a really good head coach, but I don't ever fear his teams because they're not going to beat me up. And I just think mm-hmm. there's a level of griminess and toughness. Now, you could also blame the GM on that, right? Get the guys in there that are going to be more nasty. Like, they need some nasty on that team, and they don't have that right yeah. now. There's something missing. Go ahead.
Do you think that regurgitating coaches is going to give them that, or is it just going to keep putting them into a cycle?
I mean, we don't want to do this as Badgers, but, like, Devin Witherspoon from Illinois – changes everything. Like, he's just nasty every which way, and like, he brings that nasty with him. He's a one-man band of nasty. Like, I don't get the sense the Packers have that. Micah Parsons is unbelievable, but like, I don't know, Devin Witherspoon I'm like afraid of when I watch. Like, as a Patriots fan, I'm sitting there watching, like, I think Drake may get killed out there. The guy's insane how good he is. So yep. And that's a Bielema guy, is it not?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
And probably Aaron Henry when he was there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And now at Notre Dame with Charlie Partridge, another former Badger assistant coach. Notre Dame and the Bills, good Badger staffs. Anyway, so
I think isn't the Notre Dame OC Luke Fickell's old OC at Cincinnati? Yeah, so another Badger tie there. Could have had him in Wisconsin. You know, maybe Notre Dame.
But the reality is, like, I just think there's clearly something missing. The Packers are like almost where they should be, but I don't get the sense that they're there right now.
That's an accurate statement. That's where I think Packer fans feel like they're at, because there's too many holes in this team to be filled in one draft. I feel like Goody's going to have to do a lot of contract restructuring to get the money to go out and get players that are contributors in free agency. And, you know, he just doesn't have a great record of those high draft picks, and he doesn't have a great record of bringing in free agents. Like, the Micah move was great, but I also feel like that was a bit of an anomaly. Like, Josh Jacobs has worked out too, but I think he's got more misses than he's got hits on free agents, and free agents are the ones that are proven. You've seen them play. They've been in the league. You know what they're capable of. You know what they're not capable of, and I feel like he took a chance on Hobbs and paid him good. It's like, you're going to take a slot corner and put him on this team and make him the CB2 along with another slot or nickel corner? Like, what are we doing? Like, neither of these guys have played corner.
Matt, this is the most down in the however many years I've known you and however long I've been on the show with you guys. I feel like this moment right now is the most negative I've ever heard you on the Packers. And they have not played a game in months. Why are you so negative? Like, what? Clearly the Seahawks did something to you that screwed you up mentally about the Packers. What was it?
The fact that they beat the snot out of the Patriots, and I just look at that Patriots team, I was like, if the Packers made it to the Super Bowl, we win that game. And that's, I know as a Patriots fan, you might not agree with that.
No, I just don't think, I just don't think so, because I don't, like, without Micah and LaFleur versus Vrabel is a massive mismatch in favor of Vrabel.
Okay.
Massive.
I mean,
I know they work together, right? But I mean, like, yeah.
I just felt like this season it was wide open for the Packers. And yes, injury is what I am ultimately resting my hat on, is like, this is why the Packers fell in their face the last five games of the NFL season. But I just, this team, we have two superstars, and that's great. But when you look at a lot of these other teams that are like deep and they've got all the positions covered, it's hard to be optimistic for a team where you're like, all of your chips are in the Micah and Jordan Love basket. And if either of them go out, especially without Malik Willis next year, like, what, this team is bad. And that's just that next man up mentality does not live on this Packer team right now. Because I don't think anyone believes that if you lose Micah Parsons again or Jordan Love and we don't have Malik Willis as a backup, that we could make that push and be a contender.
Yeah, I get the frustration. I'm not where I thought I would be right now with Jordan Love after, you know, all the beginning part of the season where they were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm a little confused as to let's go back to Jim's point. We're never going to de-emphasize quarterback. That's insane. But if somebody like me, who I would say if I was eligible to trade 10 first rounders, I would offer 10 first rounders to the Chiefs for Mahomes. And like, I would think I'm getting the better end of it. Getting Mahomes, like, I just wouldn't think about it at all. I just figure out my team. But if we're going to, I don't want to, if we decrease the importance of an elite quarterback by 1% because of Darnold, and you're telling me you have a Darnold type in Malik Willis, and can increase defense and special teams by, in a hypothetical, this is never going to happen world, moving on from Jordan Love. That is an interesting conversation that, in that same premise, teams like Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cincinnati would never have that conversation.
Right.
If they had Malik Willis, none of them would be having the conversation. The fact that nobody said, guys, this is ridiculous, we can't have this conversation, proves that Jordan Love is not as good as where we thought he would be.
To be fair, Molly did say that when we first brought it up.
I did.
She said,
I was annoyed.
What are we even doing? Gosh, guys, this is so dumb. That's my Molly impression.
I did.
Off of the gym, Malik Willis at 20, Jordan Love at 53. Off of that one? That's 33.
No, yeah. We started the show with that.
He should be a starting quarterback.
So, Evan, we asked this question kind of to get the show rolling. We asked, would Malik Willis provide more value than Jordan Love as a Packers starting QB? I want to know, what do you think the answer was, like, percentage yes to no? Because I think it's a little bit of a look into what people think about Love.
60-40, no.
All right, right now it is 75-25. No.
No?
Yep.
So they love Jordan Love.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the wrong answer. Because the word value, no, but just because the word value, it's who is the better player, Jordan Love. Who provides the team more value is whoever has the better chance of outperforming their contract. Jordan Love is not outperforming his contract. Malik Willis has.
Yeah.
Now, Malik Willis would need a new contract in order to outperform it moving forward.
His new contract's probably going to be similar to Darnold's, right? $100 million for 3 years?
Probably.
Maybe a little less?
Yeah.
Maybe that's something like Fields.
I would assume
Fields got like 2 years, $50 million, $30 million guaranteed in the first year to the Jets. Maybe it's something
right,
in between those two.
That's Fields. So, right? He's 25.
I mean, Janowski's been saying $40 million. Not per year, but like $40 million total.
Okay.
I guess, 2 for $40 is probably what it is.
So $20 million a season?
So, but wait, can I just...
That's the math.
Well, yeah.
Good
yeah,
job.
Well, no, I just... That, see, that. It seemed, I thought he'd be more than that.
So, wait, let me... Before you guys say goodbye, let me just ask you a question. As we sit here today, K, can you envision a scenario in which the Packers win the Super Bowl next year? Like, do you feel good enough that they're going to pull something off to put together a roster to win the Super Bowl next year?
Give it, if we're healthy, yes, we have a shot.
Molly?
I don't love that they're not making changes in terms of coaching. But as Matt said, if the major stars, the ones that got hurt this year, can stay healthy, yes, they have a legitimate shot.
Jim?
I wouldn't put them as a top five in the North. I mean, I'm sorry, in the NFC.
Wow.
In the NFC, so I wouldn't.
In the NFC.
So I would say no.
You wouldn't put them in the top five in the NFC. So Seattle, the Rams, Philly, Chicago.
Yeah, and then
San Francisco.
Yeah. I don't think it's crazy.
I mean, there's an argument that all of those teams are better than the Packers. There is an argument.
Certainly.
Because if we're going to play out health for Green Bay, we got to play out health for San Fran.
So one more quick thing. So Matt announced yesterday a surprise. I'm going to change. Matt, tell Evan your surprise.
Okay, Evan, me and my wife, Jen, are expecting our first child.
Ah, congratulations.
Yeah.
So do you have any, we just kind of put people on the spot here, any advice to give to Matt? As a Matt,
yes,
being a first-time father.
I do. I will give you the advice I give to all new parents, and my co-host, Chris Canty, is a brand new parent, and that is take advice from no one.
That's what Tausch said.
I'm dead serious.
That's what Tausch said.
I'm going to tell you why. Your kid is going to be your kid. Your relationship with your kid is only going to be your relationship and your wife's relationship with the kid. Just because Jim has two kids and I have two kids, there's almost nothing we can relate to because of who we are and who they are. And it's not like, yes, you could say like, all right, here's a good diaper brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Ali has kids as well. Like, it's just, it's such a different dynamic. And I have two kids waiting for me upstairs, right? Mm-hmm. I'm way more nervous about the older one than the younger one as to what's gone on with my wife at work right now in the last 20 minutes while I've been on with you. And you would assume, well, why wouldn't the older one be better? Well, the older one is better at this than that or whatever it is. And just because you have two and the advice that I would say is take advice from no one. In life, take advice from people you respect. But in this specific case, you're going to have to go through trial and error with your kid, loving your kid the way you love them and with your wife together. And I will also tell you this, the time we are in right now, when is your kid due? Have you shared that?
Yeah, June 27th.
Okay, June 27th. The time we're in right now, between February and June, you will never remember the rest of your life. I don't understand what life is like pre-kids. Like, I can't fathom, what did my wife and I do every day, every weekend? Molly, Jim, am I right about this?
Yeah, we always joke, we thought we were busy? What?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I still got to go tonight. My son has basketball 8 to 9:30.
Yeah.
I would be asleep.
Gross.
No, but that's the point. It's like, Matt, you don't understand how little you're going to remember about life without kids. My wife and I lived in – we had two places. We had one in New York City and one in Florida. We had a good existence, right? Mm-hmm. I don't remember doing anything in any of those three kids.
That is solid advice. I will take that. I will take that to heart. Appreciate you giving me your knowledge. Yeah. A little knowledge bomb for me to try and
– What did you guys say?
He's not asked us yet. I've only asked guests.
Yeah.
I'll wait for Matt to ask, but he has not.
That's good. No, we're good. We're good at asking
apparently. I don't think he's going to anymore. All right. Thanks, Evan.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That's Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, of my Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light. Vote for Jim, Matt, and Molly as Madison's best radio team every day this month at MadisonMagazine.com.